Hi everybody, and welcome to another Lateral Line podcast. We're out here off of Highborn Cay in the Bahamas on the Macara tagging dolphin. We got Don Hammond from the Dolphin Tagging Project with us here today. We got about six baits out and looking for some peanuts and some medium-sized dolphin to tag. Hey Don, how are you doing today?
Doing just great, Brandon. It's a beautiful day out here in the Bahamas and the fish seem to be cooperating, so it looks like we're going to have an excellent day today.
Yeah, I think we've already had, two on in the first 10 minutes, right?
That's it. I mean, 10 minutes with the lines in, we've already got two tagged and back in the water, and we should get some more here right quickly here. So it should be a great day.
Cool. Well, tell us a little bit about how you got started with the project. I know we've been talking to you through Marine Ventures for a long time, a few years now, I guess, 3 or 4 years, but I think you even started before then, so maybe you could walk us through all that.
I've been studying the dolphin fish for about 5 years now, and it actually stems back to my youth and when I made my first offshore trip. And the very first offshore blue water fish I caught was a dolphin. And it impressed me that day, and I have been nothing but impressed and admiring the fish ever since.
Cool. So that sort of led to you moving in. You were with the Department of Natural Resources in South Carolina, right?
That's correct. I was working with the state, and for the most years, nobody was interested in funding research work on dolphin fish. And I'd been interested and anxious to start studying them because they seemed to be such an amazing animal. But nobody was interested in it up until just recently when a crisis developed in the competition between commercial longliners and recreational fishermen. And that prompted the government to begin funding some research work on it. And that's where I got started.
So you started with the Department of Natural Resources of South Carolina. You recently retired, but you've continued the project on an independent basis and are receiving grants from foundations and individuals and things like that, right?
That's correct. The state was no longer able to continue the funding because of financial constraints as well as personnel constraints. Government, both federal and state, have undergone severe reductions, both in physical abilities or funding that's available for research as well as number of personnel. The fishermen voiced their concern. They said they wanted to see the dolphin study continue, and that's when I began working with the foundations and private individuals that are making donations to keep this research going, and that's why we're here today, because Tom McMurray with the Marine Ventures Foundation is very concerned over the dolphin fish and would like to see more work continue to protect this great resource that we have. And this fish actually is probably one of the most meaningful offshore fish we have from the standpoint of supporting the recreational fishing industry. Because in the South Atlantic Bight, there's probably half of the trips made would come back fishless if it wasn't for dolphin fish.
Yeah, it's a real important fishery. I know that in the Mid-Atlantic and all the way down. So that sounds like a great story. Tell us a little bit about how many fish have been tagged over the years, and maybe you can give us a little bit of description of what the results you found, because I know we were talking on the boat just yesterday and day before about some interesting things about how the fish dive real down and what their diets compose of and things like that.
It has been really interesting, and it's been revealing aspects about this fish in my study that I never even conceived of, and that's why I say that it's a learning experience as I go along. Basically, I ripped all the pages out of the book of dolphin and throwing them away, and we're starting to fill in white paper again. And what we have found is, and to show you where we're coming from, was that before this study, science actually did not have any hard data that showed a south to north migration in the spring. Now, all the recreational fishermen knew that as gospel, that happened. There was no data to back it up.
Right.
But we're utilizing in the study, we utilized two different types of approaches. One is a basic external streamer tag that private recreational fishermen who are willing to cooperate, participate in this program can tag their small unwanted dolphin fish and release for the study. And then we have the new high-tech satellite pop-off tags. These items are basically miniature computers. They cost $4,000 a piece, and there's another $1,500 worth of satellite time. But they provide us with a look at these fish that nobody else has had. It monitors where they are in the water column continuously along with the water temperature. And the external streamer tags have shown us that these fish are well deserved the name highly migratory. We have had them tagged down off of the Florida Keys and go from the Florida Keys to Cape Hatteras in 9 days. 900 miles, 9 days.
Holy smokes.
That is smoking. And with just this past year, we've had three fish that went out of the Florida Keys. One went to Block Canyon, that's over 1,200 miles in 51 days. That's less than 2 months from the Florida Keys all the way to Block Canyon. Then we had another one, even more impressive, that went from Key West to Cape May, New Jersey in 21 days. 1,100 and some miles.
Good Lord.
And so this just shows you how mobile these fish are. And this is extremely important information as far as management is concerned. And we've not had this kind of view of it. Now the high-tech satellite tags that we have deployed have really opened up a whole new world. Everybody thinks a dolphin fish is a surface fish, being right there close to the surface.
Right.
Wrong. What we have found is that they use a very large portion of the water column, diving as deep as 400 feet deep. And that not only that, but they do more deep diving during the nighttime than they do during the day. And that fish off of South Carolina tend to dive deep during the day more than the fish down off of South Florida. Down off South Florida, fish spend over 97% of the daylight period within the top 10 meters of the surface. So you're staying, you know, basically 33 feet you're looking at. Then the fish up in South Carolina, during the daylight hours, they're only spending about two-thirds of it at the surface. They're spending a third of the time down below 30 meters deep, 100 feet deep. And so nobody had this. How many times has the fisherman gone out, found that perfect weed line, and said, I know the fish are here, and can't find a thing? Well, now we might have the answer, that they're down deep, way below where they're normally fishing. So this gives us something. The one other thing that this study has done, which was completely out in left field, never crossed my mind, but these satellite tags have shed light on a new feeding behavior for these fish. And that is this nighttime diving. They will dive to a set depth each night. It seems that they'll find a particular depth, whether it's 150 feet, whether it's 250 feet, and they'll make multiple dives down to that same depth during a given night. And what circumstantial evidence points to is that they're going down to feed on those animals that live in the great depths of the ocean during the day and rise to the surface at night, much like swordfish do. And so that they're, one of their primary feeding periods is nighttime, and they're feeding heavily on squid, paper nautilus, rock shrimp, the other animals that make up this what we call deep scattering layer.
So that as they migrate up and down the coast, these fish will eat whatever they can find. So they'll dive during the night, find that layer of where there's squid or whatever else they can find, and then just keep diving back and up and down, basically.
That is correct. And it seems to be bounce dives. They'll go down and feed for very short periods and then back up. And I think the reason is for that is that it's much cooler waters down deep, and that they prefer the warmer waters, plus they need the warmer waters to help speed up digestion. And this is why they'll just dive down for short periods, feed, bounce back up to a warm layer, hang there for a little bit, and then back down again to, on another feeding foray. So, but this is something that we have seen, is that a lot of this behavior is region specific. They behave differently down in South Florida than they do off the Carolinas, and I think that they behave differently in the Mid-Atlantic from how they're behaving either off the Carolinas or down off of South Florida. But the only way we're going to be able to get this information is through more tagging within the Mid-Atlantic region. And this is the time, or this is the place here, I really need more help. I need more conservation-minded fishermen to volunteer to tag dolphin for me in that area. And if you want to know more information about your dolphin fish, help me out, tag fish, and I'll give you the answers.
And you run a contest every year, too, so it's, these guys can get prizes for tagging the most fish. Not obviously, there's a lot of fishermen in Florida tagging these fish, but you have prizes for people outside of Florida, specific prizes, so they can win the most tag, I guess, the highest boat that tags the highest amount of fish, and then angler specific, right?
We the program offers four awards. It offers an award for the boat, private boat that tags the most dolphin in the calendar year, the charter boat that tags the most dolphin in a calendar year, and the individual tagging the most dolphin, catching the most dolphin to be tagged in a calendar year. Then we have another specific award that is specifically for the boat tagging the most fish outside of Florida, because the Florida anglers, they do basically have dolphin fish available 12 months out of the year, and have a distinct advantage against many of the other anglers.
Right.
But more importantly, I offer any angler who catches five or more dolphin for tagging, and the boat captain whose vessel tags 10 or more, I'll give them a t-shirt, a real nice t-shirt with original artwork from Chris Summers on the back.
That's very cool. And and the winners, they can win a rod and reel, right?
That is correct. I have been giving away a Star custom-built rod, stand-up rod, 50-pound class rod with a TLD, a Shimano TLD 50 on it.
That's a pretty nice prize for somebody.
Well, that's about a $700-$800 prize there for just throwing a few small fish back. I think that pays off pretty well.
I think so. Well, thanks a lot, Don, for being out here with us. We're going to keep on trolling and look for some more fish for the next few days here, and we'll tune back in with you periodically, maybe every 3 or 4 months, get an update on how many fish have been tagged and things like that. Which, speaking of, do you know how many fish have been tagged since the inception of your program?
We've had over 6,000 dolphin tagged so far in the 5 years of the program, and we've had 165 tag recoveries. And so this has been a tremendous success. And believe it or not, last year we achieved the highest recovery rate that for dolphin fish, and that's only 3%. That's only 3 out of 100 fish that are tagged. So this shows you how important it is for more people to get involved, to tag a large number of fish. But you never know which one is the lucky fish. I've had one individual that tagged one fish 1 year, and it was recovered after 2 months.
Good.
So you just don't know which one is the golden fish.
That's right, and we had one we tagged, and we were doing some underwater filming, and we tagged that fish, and he came right back, was feeding right behind the boat with the tag in him. We could have probably caught him if we wanted to. I think you had one that was 1 minute recovery, right?
That is correct. We've had fish that shows you how little impact tagging can have on the fish. That I've had a fish that we threw off of one tag, threw over one side, and it hit the flat line on the other side of the boat in less than a minute. And so it just shows you, they can't, you know, tagging does not necessarily traumatize the fish. They go right back to their normal behavior. And so it's a case that, you know, with a little bit of care and a little bit of practice, you can tag these fish with minimum impact and get them back in the water quickly.
Well, great, Don. Thanks a lot. We'll see if we can get a few boats for you in the Mid-Atlantic region signed up and tag some more fish.
Appreciate it, Brandon. Thanks a lot. Enjoyed being with you.